reading of the word of the Lord in honor and reverence of the most powerful thing that we possess is the word of God. Ephesians chapter 4. Before I read that, as you are finding Ephesians 4, I want to apologize for Wednesday night's online. It's fixed. We're ready to go on Wednesday nights for online. Get that taken care of. Men that were not here on Sunday for Father's Day, we provided a beautiful baseball hat with New Beginnings logo, and in the back of it, it says, "Brothers, if you'd like to have one, would you see Joe? And he'll be more than glad to give you a hat that we provided for those on Father's Day." Amen? Amen. I want to read, starting in verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 4. "But you have not so learned Christ." What a statement. You have to read verse 19 all the way back to verse 1 to understand why he made that statement. But verse 21 says, "If indeed you have heard him and you have been taught by him, the truth is in Jesus." That's a really good place to say a big amen. The battle of the culture and the world will be based on that verse. Jesus doesn't need us to stand up for him. It's already been settled. You and I need to learn just how to walk in that. Now, I want you to look up there the PowerPoint. Father God, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for the word. I thank you for the presence, your spirit, your anointing, your power, your authority. I have become aware, Lord, what you're asking us to continue to become, and that is to have an awesome, innocent fellowship with you, that from there everything springs forward in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. You may take your seat. Would you turn the camera briefly to the PowerPoint, just a moment? Every one of you, if you have been following our Wednesday night services, four or five of us, pastors and ministers, are teaching about life principles, the 30 principles that help us grow, to help us grow, amen, to help us grow, and to help us grow, and to help us grow. We never stop growing. The moment we stop growing, we begin the journey of backsliding. I'm not saying losing your salvation. I'm saying about growing. And last Wednesday, I had the privilege of teaching this. Thank you. You can bring it back to my ugly face. Thank you. Amen. Glory to God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't know where I would be. Now, reason I know this is a controversial, difficult to comprehend, understand, put in order, put in place, But I believe that I am hearing the Lord for what's going to happen in the next 10 years on the earth. Are you saying Jesus won't come back within the next 10 years? Let me tell you what I'm hoping. I hope he comes back tomorrow. But meanwhile, while we are still on earth, we got to have some heavenly beings, heavenly authority, heavenly direction from the Lord. From the Lord, from the Lord, from the Lord. Not another preacher, not another book, not another seminary, not another conference. From the Lord. And I know that. So if you leave the church scratching your head, what did he say? And the other person will say, you know, he didn't say. What I'm trying to say is what this principle stands for. And so that principle is that we are always in battles. We would not want it no other way, because battles help us get stronger. If you do push-ups every day, your muscles get stronger and stay strong. If you don't, they get weak. This is why I am a believer of fellowship. I am a believer of support. I am a believer of coming together. I am a believer that we should always congregate, that we should always connect, and that we should always stay connected to something that will help us to continue to grow in the things of God. It's like a live coal. It can only stay alive with other live coals. You put it aside, sooner or later, it will die. Sad part about it is that there are a lot of Christians that have been deceived that don't know they've been deceived. I don't want us to be there. I don't even want to come close to that. So with that in sight and revelation, we fight all our battles on our knees. It's all I want to say to the body of Christ is I believe we got to go back where all the power is resurrected, and where it becomes alive is in the place of prayer. It's all. It's how we fight. Is there ways that we fight that is not correct according to the scriptures? Yes. Because it's not what we say that gets us in trouble. It's how we say it that gets us in trouble. And so there are ways that people are fighting these battles and they're not winning the battles. Somehow, deep inside my soul, my heart, my mind, my will, when we fight all of these battles on our knees, you're going to win every time. Don't look at me that way, please. You heard me say it. You're going to win every time. You're going to win every time. You're going to win every time. But Pastor, I'm not winning every time. This is why I believe God has us right here, understanding how powerful it is. What does that look like? I'm so glad you asked. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 4. I begin to read in verse 20. Let me continue to read. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off. This is what it looks like when you let the Holy Spirit become the center of attention of Jesus Christ, Jesus becomes Savior and Lord of your life, you've got to put off. Who does? You have to put off. You got to know if that's dangerous. You got to know if that's God or if that's not God. You got to know if that's evil or not evil. You got to know if that's religious or non-religious. You have to put off concerning the former conduct. It's amazing how Christians are still struggling with the same things that they got saved from. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Anda. That you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man. The problem with the old man is that old man will be with us until the day we die, which grows corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lust. Watch this. But be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Everybody look in that verse. Spirit. Tell me out loud. Is it a capital S or is it a small S? Small. It's a small S. It's not a capital S. Okay? This is what triggered this message in my soul for the people of God because of our men's fellowship. When we ended that book, it said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Small s. And then in Romans 1:9, it says, for God is my witness who I serve with my spirit. Small s. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Spirit is small s, not capital. That is what's triggered to understand that we are in battles. We're going to continue to be in battle. We don't want it no other way. Because in battles, we get stronger in the things of God. We know what's flesh, what's spirit. We know what's religious and what's spiritual. We know what is from God and what's not from God. There's a lot of counterfeit stuff going on. And we've got to be sensitive to the things of the spirit so that we don't get trapped into the deception that that's God and it's not God. Because you and I are fighting every battle, every one of them, in our knees. Because when we do that, we win every time. Why are you so excited, Pastor Bobby? Because I get sick and tired of being sick and tired of losing when I'm trying to find a battle not according to the Word and the Spirit. We see a lot of believers that are falling apart. This virus just goofed up a lot of people's faith, and many have got deceived. And you'd be surprised some of the stuff that I'm hearing out in the community, what I'm hearing from Christians, and I'm like, wow, that's not God. I'm not their judge, and I won't judge them because I believe that a remnant of God is rising up, going to another level to understand that the power that we need is in God. It's not on us, and it's nothing outside of us. This is why the outline to this is crucial, because this message is not like, well, he was good. He was energetic. He was smiling. He's got new shoes on. Oh, yeah, he looks cool, or he looks old, or he looks tired. This message is not wanting you to go and feel good that this was an amazing message. This message is about how can I get a revelation from God to help me know that everything around me is falling apart. And since it's falling apart, it's not of God, because according to the word of God, that we understand which battles belong to the Lord, and we let them fight those battles. And which battles are our battle, where we learn to submit and to surrender to God, because that's what he's asking me to do. And I do apologize the way I express this, but it's really simple if you practice it. A lot of times we try to take on other people's battles, when really what we all have to do is really just mind our own business, really, when it comes down to it. It's not yours. Let them deal with that themselves. So the outline is crucial. Let me give it to you real quick. It's about the human personality and the Holy Spirit. How do we, our personality, submit to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God? Yes, you're hearing loud and clear. We got to find that quiet place that belongs to you and God. Nothing comes against it. It is your foundation. It is your lifeline. It is your power. It's your authority. It's where you get everything. You get the wisdom and the knowledge from God, where you hear God speak to you. And when God speaks to you, it gives you a boldness, it gives you a peace, it gives you an authority, it gives you the anointing that comes from the Lord's. Because how many honestly believe this morning, he'll never leave us nor forsake us? But we're living like he's leaving us and forsaking us. That's not God. God always provides. Can somebody say amen? So the human personality is spirit, soul, and body. Everything I've read to you does not refer to the Holy Spirit. It refers to your spirit, soul, and body. Every one of us have been created in the image and the likeness of God, but every one of us have an ego. You can say ouch or amen. That ego is what gets in the way. I know how to take care of this myself. I don't have to do it exactly how the Bible says or how that preacher who hollers in church says. You'd be surprised. Maybe you've got some surprised ones. You've been hearing out in the community, Christians are saying certain things, and I'm like, that's not from God. Somewhere they got deceived. Or they're thinking you've gotten deceived. But listen, how can we be deceived when we're going to fall to our knees and say, God, what's our next instructions? What is our next guidance? I got to fix this problem, Lord. I've tried 100 ways to fix it. It's still there. Well, that should be a red flag to say, why don't you give it to God and watch him fix it? Amen. Amen. So, the outline is the human personality has an ego. We know that. And what we also know, that sin was created by pride. Sin was created by not submitting to God. What we know about submission, that if we want to be successful, we've got to learn how to submit to God. See, success is not that you have $2 in your pocket. Your success is that your heart is pure and innocent in the presence of God. So the implication of sin is that then the spirit died. They tell us that in Genesis 1 through 20, it's 2,000 years. So if you want to know how God functioned the first 2,000 years, and how the last 8 to 10,000 years has changed, all we want to do is go back to have fellowship with God and thank God that Jesus sent his son so that we can have salvation, experience salvation, and experience eternal life. Because the moment you and I die from this earth, we are in the presence of the Lord's. So we went from rebellion to salvation. Nobody ever wants to be put in the category of being rebellion. Nobody wants to be put in the category that they are sin nature. Nobody wants to put in the category that self can be developed on its own. Nobody does. But the function, everybody say function. The function is once you and I know how the function of the spirit, the soul, and body works, then we can begin to distinguish, know the difference. And once we know the difference, then it's up to us to be accountable. That's up to us to be a disciple. Who's teaching you? Who is your teacher? That's why I believe that every battle you go through, because everybody I've met goes to some kind of battle, what I've learned is that battle is my teacher. That battle is my teacher. I get to learn. I get to become better and more powerful. And we get to start over. Nobody likes starting over. I don't like starting over. But the reason why I feel comfortable starting over, because that's what it feels like, is that I'm starting over. The difference is I'm starting over with experience now. Nothing wrong with starting over again. What did you learn? Your ways don't work. That's all you've learned. That's a good learning curve right there. God, what do you think? 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 And you can do it with a smile, because God will never leave you nor forsake you. He won't teach you how to swim and let you drown. So once we distinguish the difference between the soul and the spirit and the body, knowing what the scripture says, I'm going to read this scripture with you. Run with me to James. I just want you to read this, because this will make sense, because I think if somebody leaves today with this in their heart, they'll say, okay, I'm understanding what Pastor is trying to say this morning, and I just want to make sure that you understand. In James chapter 2, I want to, actually it's chapter 3, James 3. If you're there, say amen. Now watch this. It says in verse 13. This is good. This is good. I'm going to start in verse 13, work myself to verse 15. Watch. I keep saying watch this because I do really want God's people to get this. Because just because you prayed yesterday, that was for yesterday. Today's a new day. What you did 10 years ago was for 10 years ago. We're going to a promised land you and I have never been before. Because where we are at, we're pretty much done with. It's done. It's over. You got to put a period to that. You got to be able to say, okay, I'm starting a new chapter in my life. It's over. And again, you've heard me say over and over and over, don't look back. If you look back, you're going to turn into a pillar of salt. And all that represents is the doom, the guilt, the shame, the hurt, the pain, the mistakes. And I believe that's what the enemy uses, is your past. But if you get smart, you begin to tell him about his future. Yeah, I was all of that. But let me tell you where you're going. Yeah, this is good. Well, it says here, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show good conduct. Remember I'm going to go back to Ephesians 4 in a second. Let him be of good conduct, that this works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Wisdom. Come on, say it again. Wisdom. That's what we want. We want the wisdom of God. But if you have bitter, envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Wow. This wisdom, everybody say wisdom. It does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual. I'm afraid to say this. Demonic. Isn't that what your Bible says? Let's read it one more time. It says it, that wisdom does not descend from above, That's not God's wisdom. That's earthly. Somebody say earthly. Sensual. Somebody say sensual. Demonic. So where does the demonic influence come from? Does it come from the spirit or does it come from the flesh? It can't come from the spirit. If you cover yourself with the blood and the word and Psalms 91, the angels of God, and you claim that over your children and your home, and they say, you know, I am the head, not the tail, you become positive. You become positive people in the spirit, not in New Age. Wow. Back to Ephesians. I want you to see this yourself, and I will close in a second or two because we're going to have communion together. And so this is crucial because now we're understanding the importance of coming to the throne of God every day, 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 every day. Not once a week, once a month. When all falls apart, oh, yeah, I got to go to God. Wow. You know what God wants to do is he wants to restore the awe of his presence and his power. Are we teaching our children and grandchildren where all of our wisdom and strength comes from? Do they see us on our knees, opening the Bible? We're listening to good music. We're not fighting among them, giving them PTSD, and you wonder why our kids are where they are, because we've given them PTSD. What is PTSD? You've given them post-traumatic stress. That's what a relationship is. I don't want that. Everybody has a private life, and everybody has a community life. The community life, if it's not lined up with the private life, more likely we're experiencing, oh, I wasn't going to say this, we are experiencing some demonic activities in our Christian home, and we don't even know that's what it is. Wow. Yeah, every time you watch anything that is not of God, it jumps on you in your home. Wow. I remember this phone call that I got, and says, Pastor, there's a demon in my house. I said, more likely there is, in a nice way. You need to come, you need to pray it out. I said, oh, I can do that. No problem. I'll even do it free. You mean you charge to go cast demons out? It just depends how much money they have. And I said, Hita, all I'll do is go and cast those things out, but they're going to come back. Why would they come back? Because if you don't give your life to Jesus and you stop playing that kind of music and those kind of things in your home and taking drugs in your home, drugs is a pharmaceutical witchcraft opening up to your house. They're going to come back with more friends. So guess what? I didn't go. Because if they're miserable now and I go and cleanse it, they're going to bring more friends. They're going to be more miserable. And guess who's going to get a phone call? Pastor, there's more in here. We got to learn how to avoid the enemy's traps. These are things that people learn late in life. I'm a firm believer we can't go and fix nothing back there. We have to finish well. But if we've got one day or 20 years left on this earth, our mindset should, you know what? I've got to finish well. If I don't finish well, it's on us. But new beginnings is in a perfect, perfect situation. New Beginnings has, I believe, the right people to build God's kingdom through the power of prayer. Where people truly and honestly get saved. And we disciple them. And we disciple them. This is a challenge. God is going to send someone your way to disciple them. But you can't disciple if you've not been discipled. These are things that people learn late in life. Everything is temporary. That too shall pass. He's just getting you ready for something amazing to happen. We can get emotional, and we can go get emotional high. That's easy. But you got to remember those emotional highs, they crash. They crash. We don't want emotional highs. We want success by having faith in God. Life isn't fair. Some people learn late in life. It's not fair. You're right. It is not. I had a meeting with somebody. He says, every time I make a turn, there's a battle. And I looked at him and says, would you want it any other way? He looked at me and says, you're right. Why do we want things to come easy? It just makes us lazy. How about if we stay watchful and ready at all times? Looking around and says, okay, I'm going into the east side. You got to be watchful. You got to go. I'm going to the projects. You got to go. We learned that in the streets. We learned that in the streets, didn't we? Deanna, Deanna, you can't sit there. Why? I can't. I have to have my back to the wall, and I got to see everything. Are you nosy? He says, no, just in case something happens, I'm ready to run and leave you. No, I didn't. I didn't say that. Let me close. These are things that people learn late in life. Everything is temporary. Life isn't fair. Family matters more than friends. Lifetime isn't forever. Beneath anger is always fear. The biggest risk is taking no risk. Things don't matter that much. 90% of our fears and anxieties never come to pass. But boy, we just wasted a lot of energy with that. Happiness is a choice. You played it too safe. Money let you be yourself. Go get it, it says. But see, money, it says that the love of it is the root of all evil. Didn't say money was. When money becomes your God and you leave out your spiritual life, you just went bankrupt. Or you may have a lot of money in your pocket, but in your heart, you're bankrupt. So all pastor's trying to say this morning is, let's fight our battles on our knees, and we're going to win every time. So every Wednesday night, we give you a principle. It's on your Facebook. You don't have to have Facebook. You just can turn to New Beginnings Facebook, and we're there. Like this Sunday, you just tell everybody, we're going to have church on Facebook, and we're going to present the Word of God, and we're just going to believe that God will minister to us. At the same time, enjoy our weekend because of the schedule just being everywhere. So as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, give me 3 minutes to teach you something. And hopefully you can leave knowing what God is trying to say to us. And I believe this is from God. I am who I am because of the grace of God. And the only thing I can tell you is that I spend hours and hours and hours a day in the presence of God, in the Word of God. Yeah, the rest of it is all business, if I may use that word. Counseling, funerals, weddings, office hours, helping, doing this, doing that. That's all good and dandy. That's amazing. But the humble spirit, I cannot get behind this pulpit without being prepared for a word from the Lord. I'm not the best, and I don't claim to be the best. I'm my own critic. You don't have to criticize me. I already do a good job doing that. And I'm trying to be as balanced as I could, because many Christians are listening to people that don't teach this. They teach that your self-esteem is greater than the power of God. And they preach it behind the pulpit. We as believers need to go back, make our home our first ministry, our job our second ministry, and service work for God in His kingdom. If you're retired, I need some of your time. Nobody's gonna. I'm not retired no more. I got a job. Give me 3 minutes. I just want you to see this. Our spirit, small s. You have one. How did I get it? Jesus came into your life and He quickened you, according to Ephesians 2. Now you have soul, spirit, and body. Since Genesis 1 through 20, 2,000 years, they've been separated from God. They use outside stuff to get close to God. Our spirit is capable of communicating directly with God and to worship Him. That's where the power of the blood comes in. Because of the blood who cleansed us and washed us, we get to enter into the presence of God as a human being alone. But the neat thing about the Lord's Day, and this is what the Lord's Day is coming together and celebrating, because God is giving us guidance and direction. God gave you a gift. Ephesians 4 tells you that gift, and that's how you have to perceive. I don't want anybody to try to respect me unless I earn your respect. And if I don't earn your respect, I understand that, because on one side, I've got a personality, and sometimes that personality thinks it's being led by the spirits, and it's not. So our spirit is capable of communicating directly with God and worshiping Him. This is why the scripture says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. Small s. There it is. They become one in Christ. Neither the soul nor the body can be united to God. I want to explain that as we go on. Every Sunday, I will pretty much be here every Sunday unless something happens. Wednesdays, I'm tag teaming with some of my ministers to preach and study the Word of God. The Spirit alone is capable of uniting with Him. And the Spirit alone is capable for true worship. And the Bible says this, but the hour is coming. Now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit, small s, and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. To worship Him in the spirit and in truth. Wow. Can we have an emotional part of that? A little. A lot what you see is they get this emotional high, but then they crash. And they begin to blame everybody for the situation they're in when they had an opportunity for every day to fight their battles on their knees, and they win every time. Come to the place there, sis. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Those who are helping me with communion will make their way to the front. And the team behind will direct everyone starting from the back to the front. You are welcome to stay at the altar today. There's a lot of teaching that must go on. I'm willing to take the risk. I'm willing to move in faith. I'm willing to believe that when they pass through or they come into this house, that the presence of God is here. Because you're not worshiping in emotional feelings. You're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth when the Spirit of God gives you those promises and you begin to stand on those promises. What promise did God give you? Stand on it. Well, Pastor, I don't have one. Today's your day. He's going to give you a promise. And you begin to stand on that promise. Everyone, please stand with me. They're going to direct you from the back. You're welcome to stay at the altar. If you go back to your seat, we'll take communion together.